Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve. And as you can tell from the sound of my voice, I'm going to be more of a moderator slash producer today. And I'll let Pastor Steve carry the load. But first of all, we have some good news coming around the mountain. Over to you, Steve. Hey, all right. Okay. Well, you're showing up on my mixing board. Why not? Okay. All right. I have no idea what's going on. Everything is green. Why should your channel not be broadcasting? Let me try B1. Yeah, B2 is in.
Okay.
Okay. How about now?
Now I'm here. I'm hearing myself. You hear me now?
Anybody out there? David James, can you hear Steve now?
Dan? Well,
Okay.
yep. Dan, good. Okay.
Okay, very
All
good,
right.
sir.
Here we go. I'll repeat what I said. Effingham County in Illinois has declared itself a gun-toting zone. It is a Second Amendment county, open carry, and that's good news. And Captain Witness has a blow-by-blow description. He's got a video in the EFR chat of the huge rally in Olympia, Washington. They had 2,000 armed citizens on the courthouse steps. And he's got I don't know how long the video is, but it's a big one. Captain Witness, can you put in the chat room how long that video is so folks can watch it at their leisure after the shows are over? We've got a great lineup this morning. We've got ACH following this show. We've got Saxon's Creed following that. And we've got BYD with Pastor Dan following that. And perhaps, if Eli hasn't collapsed by then,
Right.
we'll get a VOCI in. And
We'll
it's
try.
something to put a couple of drops of your pee under your tongue for a few minutes.
Right.
It'll cure your cold. Yeah,
Yeah.
right. Okay. ew.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was a comment in the chat room a little earlier that said David Duke is the howdy doody of white nationalism who
Right.
denies the CI truth.
That's right.
Poor David. I mean, he's known the truth, but he just won't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
Sorry, David, but
Yeah.
Mr. Duke, you fall short, brother. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's afraid to go
But
back to jail. Yeah.
well, we're in the book of First Maccabees, and we left off last week at chapter 2, verse 14. So we will be taking up in chapter 2 and verse 15, and this has the little subtitle of Pagan Worship Refused. I will be carrying the load today because Eli has just his throat is
sore,
very sore. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's croaking along, doing his frog imitation.
Right,
plunk your magic twanger, froggy. Hiya, kids. Hiya, 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 kids. Hiya, hiya. That goes from an old early live TV show. Froggy and the Magic Twanger. But we have had an exciting build-up. This week has been loaded. Things are popping. Still haven't seen any arrests. Hillary's still walking around. At least the citizens are doing something. Some of them are standing up, and with that many people carrying long arms, I don't think they had any kind of police presence that was trying to thug up like they did down in the Carolinas, where they thugged up on the people, because the people were unarmed. If the people were open carrying, that would not have happened. And that's what it's going to take. People are going to have to stand up and go in numbers. If there's one or two or 20 of you, you're going to get beat down. You don't do that. If you can't come in force, with force, don't come. That's all I can say. You need to have everybody strapped.
Yeah, it's got to be organized.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is setting a precedent.
That's right.
Maybe some of these other guys will learn a lesson. I don't know. Pastor Dan posts, the good news is that we will know for sure about the good guys very soon. No later than June. Okay. Well... that's a long way, but we have to be patient. We have to wait on Yahweh, and if Yahweh wills it, He will bring it to pass. After my illness with this heart attack, I was very lax on putting any of my shows in the archives. I just didn't have the time. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with other people's shows. All of my wake-up call shows are now in the EFR archives, and I'm all the way up to the Book of Jasher on the word-for-word shows. I'll finish that today. So I'll complete that archives while I'm listening to all the great shows that are following up. So let's get into the Book of First Maccabees, Chapter 2. I need to change my reading glasses because this print in this New Revised Standard Version is very small, and they have lots of notes in here. I really like this, but if you go to eSword, you got to buy it. You have to pay for it. So I have a hard copy, so I'm not paying for eSwords to download it. It's a useful tool, but
it's a good concordance.
Yeah. Have a drink of coffee, Eli.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have one.
Yeah, I got tea this morning. And if you wouldn't mind, back up to verse 12.
Okay, I'll do that.
In my version, I got the King James Version. It has the word Gentiles in verse 12. And behold,
yes, it
our sanctuary, even our beauty and our glory is laid waste, and the Gentiles have profaned it. So this is an obvious case where the word Gentile is a reference to the non-Israelite nations.
That is correct.
Okay.
Well, I read it last week, the nations, and I stipulated non-Israelite nations. Those were the nations or the Greeks at this time.
Yes.
Those were the Hellenized Israelites and the Greeks that have gone into Greek pantheism, and they put statues in the holy place, statues of the pagan gods.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what we're dealing with here.
The result was, verse 13, why should we live any longer? They were despairing. And verse 14, then Mattathias and his sons tore their clothes, which was a sign of mourning, put on sackcloth, and mourned greatly over the temple. They were righteous Israelites that were Yahweh worshipers. Now we start in verse 15. We left off at 14 the last time. The king's officers who were enforcing the apostasy, okay, they had armed men forcing this pagan worship, okay? Forcing the apostasy came to the town of Modain to make them offer sacrifice. Now, what did we just see up in Olympia, Washington? People have had enough. They came out in force, okay? I'm giving you a hint as to what's coming. Verse 16. Many from Israel came to them, and Mattathias and his sons were assembled. Verse 17. Then the king's officers spoke to Mattathias as follows. You are a leader, honored and great in this town, and supported by sons and brothers. Verse 18. Now be the first to come and do what the king commands, as all, and again it has the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the Greeks or the nations and the people of Yehuda. That's the land of Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
And those that are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your sons will be numbered among the friends of the king. And you and your sons will be honored with silver and gold and many gifts.
Submit.
In other words, suck up and get paid off.
Right.
How many of our people are politicians of our race have done this? Sold out.
Yes.
Okay, here's Mattathias' response. Verse 19. But Mattathias answered and said in a loud voice, even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him, and have chosen to obey his commandments, every one of them abandoning the religion of their ancestors. That's Yahweh worship.
Uh-huh.
Verse 20. I and my sons and my brothers will continue to live by the covenant of our ancestors.
Amen.
Or forefathers, okay? They stood up right there.
Yes.
They stood up. That's what our people out there are going to have to do. They're going to have to stand up and say, enough.
Enforce. Yes.
We don't want your filthy lucre. We don't want special privileges. We want our rights. They're not given by the government. They're given by
Yahweh.
Amen. Verse
21.
Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. Verse 22. We will not obey the king's words by turning aside from our religion or our faith. They stuck religion in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it says. To the right hand or to the left. Now, verse 23. Now, this is what it says. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to comment on it. When he had finished speaking these words, it says, a Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice on the altar in Modin according to the king's command. Now, that word Jew was inserted. They didn't even have the term Jew until much later in history. It didn't exist at that time.
Right.
It was probably a man of Judah.
Right.
Okay, a sellout.
Yes.
Like we see so many white people selling out today. All right. Offer sacrifice on the altar in Modin according to the king's command. Verse 24. When Mattathias saw it, he burned with zeal, and his heart was stirred. He gave vent to righteous anger. He ran and killed him on the altar. Let's pause for a second, folks. Okay, think on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think on that. When the grace period ends and Yahweh has had enough, what do you think is going to happen to all these Shabbos goy that serve,
yeah,
that serve the Antichrist children? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think their fate is going to be? Think on that, all you fence sitters. You people that are hearing the word but not doing it. If you are lukewarm, you will be spewed out and you will suffer the fate of the Shabbos goy. You're either with Yahshua HaMashiach or you are not. You need to choose. It's a hard line. The line is not invisible. You're either on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence. You can't sit in the middle. It's not going to work. Because he will kick you off the fence. Verse 25. At the same time, he killed the king's officer who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. Verse 26. Thus he burned with zeal for the law, just as Pinchas did against Zimri, son of Salu. If you remember that, he stuck a spear or javelin through both of them when they were having sex. The Israelite was having sex with a mixed race, and he killed them both. These are examples of the law in process, in work. This is what is to be done. The scripture is giving us our path. We need to stand up and do it. That's all it's going to take, and they will run in fear. And you have a bunch of thugs with badges out there instead of honorable police officers, and they see 2,000 armed men like at that rally coming at them. You think they're going to stand for that piddling little paycheck? You think they're going to stand up? Hell no. They're going to run. Because they're only big and tough when there's one of you and a whole big gang of them. When you get equal forces, they're cowards. They don't have Yahweh on their side. All right. Verse 27. Then Mattathias cried out in the town with a loud voice, saying, let everyone who is zealous for the law and supports the covenant come out with me. Verse 28. Then he and his sons fled to the hills and left all that they had in the town.
Okay, they left everything behind.
All right, so they could fight. That reminds me of my situation. I walked away from everything. My home I had built, my big garage, all my tools, my vehicles. When I was attacked and defended myself and had no recourse, I walked away. I followed what's in the scripture. Amen. I said enough is enough, but I was a lone wolf at that time, and I was easy pickings for a big armed group of thugs. Nobody would stand with me at that time. They wouldn't stand. Mm-hmm. We could have made a difference then. Well, here I am again. I'm back, and we're going to have to stand and make a difference in the future. You're not going to have a choice, brothers and sisters. You're not going to be given a choice.
Yes.
It's going to be either or.
Yeah. Well, this book of Maccabees is you know, telling us this is what we're going to have to do.
It's a how-to manual.
Yeah.
What's Dan been preaching? What's he been preaching? Getting ready. Getting ready. Strapping up. You're not going to get out of this by sitting back and watching your TV. It's not going to bring it to an end. Either lead, follow, or get the heck out of the way. Verse 29. At that time, many who were seeking righteousness and justice went down to the wilderness to live there. Verse 30. They, their sons, their wives, and their livestock, because troubles pressed heavily upon them. Verse 31. And it was reported to the king's officers and to the troops in Jerusalem, the city of David, that those who had rejected the king's command had gone down to the hiding places in the wilderness. Verse 32. Many pursued them and overtook them. They encamped opposite them and prepared for battle against them on the Sabbath day. Oh, ho, ho. Verse 33. They said to them, enough of this. Come out and do what the king commands and you will live.
Yeah,
verse
sure.
Verse 34. But they said, we will not come out, nor will we do what the king commands, and so profane the Sabbath day. Verse 35. Then the enemy quickly attacked them.
Yep.
Verse 36. But they did not answer them or hurl a stone at them or block up their hiding places. Verse 37. For they said, now listen to this. This takes some intestinal fortitude here. For they said, let us all die in our innocence. Heaven and earth testify for us that you are killing us unjustly. Verse 38. So they attacked them on the Sabbath, and they died with their wives and children and livestock to the number of 1,000 persons. Let's stop right here. Occupy until the end, even unto death. That's a commandment. And Yeshua says, if you love anything more than me, you will be rejected. Well, they loved Yahweh more than anything else, and they laid down their lives because they were obedient Israelites. Okay, that's the Sabbath day. Why do you think they've done attacks on the Sabbath so many times? When people are sitting around eating their Sabbath meal, the thugs come in. This is verse 39. When Mattathias and his friends learned of it, they mourned for them deeply. And all said to their neighbors, if we do as our kindred have done and refuse to fight with the nations, that has Gentiles here, for our lives and for our ordinances, they will quickly destroy us from the earth. Verse 41. So they made this decision that day. I guess they went in prayer about it.
Yes.
Let us fight against anyone who comes to attack us on the Sabbath day. Let us not all die as our kindred died in their hiding places.
Well, Yahshua said it. It's just to do good on the Sabbath. Defending yourselves is a good thing.
Well, now see, that's where I'm going to have my comment here.
Okay.
They set a precedent by dying for their faith, that first group did,
yes,
which showed the other people that these thugs had no mercy nor respect for Yahweh. We've seen that time and time and time again, that they have no mercy today. They will kill innocent people. What did Yahshua say? He said, sell your cloak and buy a sword. And he said, if I didn't have to make this sacrifice, then mine would fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yahshua was not a pacifist.
That's right.
When he went with the cat of nine tails and beat the usurers and the money lenders out of the temple, beat them up, bloodied them. That's not pacifism. Brothers and sisters, if you are not willing to stand for Yahweh, how can you expect him to stand for you? How? There's going to be a time to fight.
That's right.
The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Remember that verse? The Sabbath is a holy day to Yahweh, but Yahweh doesn't consider it holy to have his true worshiping children killed by a group of thugs. How many times in war throughout history have we had to fight 7 days a week, at night, during the day, in the morning, in the afternoon? This is a fight for survival. And if you whine and cry and lay down, they're going to kill you anyway.
That's right.
They do not have mercy. It is not their nature. It is not in them to have mercy. They don't know the meaning of mercy or respect for our Elohim, Yahweh. We are going to have to stand for him. He has told us, you are my battle axe and weapons of war, repeatedly. And we have had to do this. We didn't complete our commission to destroy all the ites, including the Edomites. And now they are the thorns in the side and pricks in the eye. We're going to have to finally deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are going to be avenging angels coming. But the Israelite people are going to have to do battle once again.
That's right. That's right.
They are not going to give us a choice. because we just stand around. Well, I don't know. Bang, you're dead. Now you really know, don't you? Isn't going to do you any good. You're laying on the ground with a hole in your head. So, all right. Verse 42 of 1 Maccabees, chapter 2. Then there united with them a company of Hasidians, mighty warriors of Israel, all who offered themselves willingly for the law. Hmm. what's that term? Radamanthan or
Radamanthan?
Radamanthan.
Right.
Warriors.
Yes. Okay. Totally dedicated.
And that's what Dan says all the time.
Right.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And all who became fugitives to escape their troubles joined them and reinforced them. Verse 44, they organized an army and struck down sinners in their anger and renegades in their wrath. Those are the lukewarm.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The survivors fled to the nations, it says the Gentiles, for safety. Verse 45, and Mattathias and his friends went around and tore down the altars.
Yeah, those statues
all
of
those
Martin
pagan
Luther
altars, King. They tore them down.
Yep.
Verse 46. They forcibly circumcised all the uncircumcised boys that they found within the borders of Israel. Because Israel is to be circumcised. Now, there are some that disagree on that. I'm not going to get into that. Verse 47, they hunted down the arrogant, and the work prospered in their hands. Verse 48, they rescued the law out of the hands of the nations and kings, and they never let the sinner gain the upper hand.
Right.
We've lost control today.
Yes, we have.
And the sinner has gained the upper hand. We're going to have to take it back. It's gone too far. And if we don't take it back, it's going to mean our death. So, I hate to say this, but what do you got to lose?
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
These are the last words of Mattathias.
Better dead than red. Remember that? Yep.
Okay, better. Verse 49, now the days drew near for Mattathias to die, and he said to his sons, arrogance and scorn have now become strong. It is a time of ruin and furious anger. Verse 50, now, my children, show zeal for the law and give your lives for the covenant of
Amen.
Our ancestors.
The covenant and the law.
That's right. I need a little cup of covenant coffee here.
These are inspiring verses that just prove that the dedication of the true Israelites was maintained throughout and never.
Well, this is the remnant that was then. Well, we got a remnant now.
Yes,
and they were small in number compared to the whole. These were just the people that were willing to stand for Yahweh, and they
Amen.
Would be blessed because of that. Verse 51, remember the deeds of the ancestors, which they did in their generations, and you will receive great honor and an everlasting name. Verse 52, was not Abraham found faithful when tested, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness? Okay. That's Genesis 15, verse 16, and 22, 15 through 18. That's for reference. Yosef, in the verse 53, Yosef, in the time of his distress, kept the commandment and became Lord of Mitzrayim. That's Egypt.
Yeah, and I remember this is before the Mosaic Covenant, so they knew the commandments already then, okay? And Joseph refused to lay with an Egyptian woman, okay? So he was keeping the commandment.
Right. Verse 54. Pinchas. Now they have Phinehas. Mm-hmm. Well, it's pronounced Pinchas. That's a C-H, not an H. Pinchas, our ancestor, because he was deeply zealous, received a covenant of everlasting priesthood. The Pinchas priesthood. Okay? The Avengers.
Yeah.
Verse 55. Yahshua, because he fulfilled the command, became a judge in Israel. Verse 56. Caleb, because he testified in the assembly, received an inheritance in the land. Verse 57. Dawid, because he was merciful, inherited the throne of the kingdom forever. Verse 58, Eliah, that's Elijah. We don't have a J in this, but it's Eliah.
Mm-hmm.
Because of great zeal for the law, was taken up into heaven. All right. Verse 59. These are the ones that were with Dawid. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael believed and were saved from the flame. They were the ones that were thrown into the fiery furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 60. Daniel, because of his innocence, was delivered from the mouth of the lions. All this history, folks.
Yeah.
How many examples do we need?
It's totally scripture. It's totally accurate history.
That's it. Verse 61. And so observe from generation to generation that none of those who put their trust in him will lack strength. Him being Yahweh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Verse 62. Now this has pertinence today. They call us all kinds of names, don't they, Eli?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 62. Do not fear the words of sinners, for their splendor will turn into dung and worms. Verse 63, today they will be exalted, but tomorrow they will not be found, because they will have returned to the dust, and their plans will have perished. Verse 64. My children, be courageous and grow strong in the law, for by it you will gain honor. Verse 65. Here is your brother, Shimeon, who I know is wise in counsel. Always listen to him. He shall be your father, or as a father. Yehuda Maccabeus has been a mighty warrior from his youth. Now they have Judas. No, it's Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
And Yehuda means he who praises Yah. It's Yah and then Uda. Two words. He has been a mighty warrior from his youth. He shall command the army for you and fight the battle against the peoples, or of the people. Okay. You shall rally around, or verse 67, you shall rally around you all who observe the law and avenge the wrong done to your people. Verse 68, pay back the nations in full and obey the commands of the law. In other words, it was time to open up a whole big can of whoopaz.
Right. A battle axe.
Verse 69. Then he blessed them and was gathered to his ancestors. Verse 70. He died in the 146th year and was buried in the tomb of his ancestors at Modi'in. Now, it has a note here that was 166 B.C. And all Israel mourned for him with great lamentation. I got a hiccup. Yeah. Oh, no. I got to get a little coffee here. Oh, Dan has in the chat room, just got this one. This California State Assembly bill would ban the Bible.
Wow.
Can you say earthquake and Arizona as seaside property?
Yeah. Well, then what about the Jews? How do the Jews feel about that, since they're supposedly God's chosen people? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think the Jews will object? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
well, we don't use the Bible. we use the Talmud.
There you go.
And for you, we give wholesale on the Talmud. We sell you the Talmud at wholesale. Oi, such a deal for you. What you think of that? Well.
Oak 991 put a nice picture of a battle axe in the chat room. Very
nice. Well, we got some people in the chat room now.
Yeah. Brother Hebert says, looks like the Maccabee Revolt is about to revolt number
2.0. Yeah,
it's about to happen.
Yep. Well, I have my sword sharpened and oiled. And when the time comes, I'll be able to use it to get whatever little hardware I might need.
Uh-huh. Hardware and software. Can't do without it.
Yeah. It all runs to the very end.
Yeah. What's in your wallet?
Right.
Or sheath. Okay. Yeah. Chapter all 3, right. Please.
You got 3. No, you can't read, Eli.
No,
you're,
I can't.
About the joke.
Yeah.
All right. This is called the early victories of Yehuda. They have Judas in here, but that's inaccurate. We're only 18 minutes after 9. We're going to be able to get some good stuff in here. We'll at least get chapter 3 for sure.
Yeah.
Chapter 3, verse 1. Then his son, Yehuda, they have Judas in here, who was called Maccabeus, took command in his place.
Maccabeus means hammer. Mm-hmm. Judah the hammer.
Right.
Okay.
It sounds like a wrestler. The hammer.
Yeah, right.
Verse 2. All his brothers and all who had joined his father helped him. They gladly fought for for Israel.
Amen.
Now, this goes into like a little poem up until verse 10. Verse 3, he extended the glory of his people. Like a giant, he put on his breastplate. He bound on his armor of war and waged battles, protecting the camp by his sword. Verse 4, he was like a lion in his deeds, like a lion's cub roaring for prey. Verse 5, he searched out and pursued those who broke the law. He burned those who troubled his people. Ow. Verse 6, lawbreakers shrank back for fear of him. All the evildoers were confounded, and deliverance prospered by his hand. Verse 7, he embittered many kings, but he made Jacob glad by his deeds, and his memory is blessed forever.
Amen.
Now Jacob is an epithet for Israel.
Sure, Jacob Israel. Okay.
Right. Verse 8, he went through the cities of Yehuda. He destroyed the ungodly out of the land. Or in Greek, it says, out of it. Okay. Thus he turned away wrath from Israel. That should be Yahweh's wrath. Verse 9. He was renowned to the ends of the earth. He gathered in those who were perishing. And when we get started, how many people are going to flock to the cause?
Right. It's a good
when
question.
They see it happening, those who are just holding back because they want somebody to go first. Well, when we go first, look out. It'll be a flood coming.
Yes.
In. Verse 10. Apollonius. This is the poem's over. Apollonius now gathered together nations and a large force from Shomeron, that's Samaria, to fight against Israel. When Yehuda learned of it, he went out to meet him and he defeated and killed him. Many were wounded and fell, and the rest fled. Verse 12. Then they seized their spoils, and Yehuda took the sword of Apollonius and used it in battle the rest of his life. Verse 13. When Seron, the commander of the Syrian army, heard that Yehuda had gathered a large company, including a body of faithful soldiers who stayed with him and went out to battle, verse 14, he said, I will make a name for myself and win honor in the kingdom. I will make war on Yehuda and his companions who scorn the king's command. Verse 15, once again, a strong army of godless men went up with him to help him to take vengeance on the Israelites. All right. They weren't Jews. They were Israelites. It says so right here.
That's right. That's what it says.
Okay. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
To you.
But everybody assumes. Yeah. Everybody assumes that the Apocrypha are Jewish literature. No, they're not.
No, it's not.
They're Israelite literature.
Not even close.
Yes.
Verse 16. When he approached the ascent of Beth Horon, Yehuda went out to meet him with a small company. But when they saw the army coming to meet them, they said to Yehuda, how can we, few as we are, fight against so great and so strong a multitude? and we are faint, for we have eaten nothing today. Verse 18. Yehuda replied, it is easy for many to be hemmed in by few. For in the sight of heaven, there is no difference between saving by many or by few. You hear that, folks? The remnant, the small number, battling the beast system. Doesn't make a bit of difference whether victory is gained by many or by few. That applies today, brothers and sisters. Verse 19, it is not on the size of the army that victory in battle depends, but strength comes from heaven.
Amen.
Verse 20, they come up against us in great insolence and lawlessness to destroy us and our wives and our children and to despoil us. Verse 21, but we fight for our lives and our laws. Verse 22. Now this refers to Yahweh. He himself will crush them before us. As for you, do not be afraid of them. Verse 23. When he finished speaking, he rushed suddenly against Seron and his army, and they were crushed before him. Verse 24. They pursued them, and the Greek has him instead of them, down the descent of Beth Coron to the plain. 800 of them fell, and the rest fled into the land of the Pelishtim, that's the Philistines. Then Yehuda and his brothers began to be feared, and terror fell on the nations all around them. Verse 26. His fame reached the king, and the nations talked of the battles of Yehuda. Now we come to another section of chapter 3. Let me get a little drink of this hot coffee. This is the policy of Antiochus. Verse 27. When King Antiochus heard these reports, he was greatly angered. Well, I guess he was.
Yeah.
And he sent and gathered all the forces of his kingdom, a very strong army. He opened his coffers and gave a year's pay to his forces and ordered them to be ready for any need. Well, what do they do with their mercenaries today?
Yeah,
they pay them with Federal Reserve notes. They print them as they need them because... Here we go, verse 29. Then he saw that the money in the treasury was exhausted and that the revenues from the country were small because of the dissension and disaster that he had caused in the land by abolishing the laws that had existed from the earliest days. All right, what are these Edomites going to do when the money system crashes?
That's right.
They can't pay their mercenaries. You think the black suits in the ninja outfits are going to fight for them when they're not getting paid?
Yeah.
Oh, please. What happens when the money runs out?
So he promised them.
Finally realize that it isn't worth doodly squat.
Right. So he promised them a year's pay, but then when he looked in the coffers...
No, he paid them, but he emptied the treasury. Verse 30. He feared that he might not have such funds as he had before for his expenses and for the gifts that he used to give more lavishly than preceding kings.
Go find a Jewish banker.
There you go. Yeah. Verse 31. He was greatly perplexed in mind. Then he determined to go to Persia and collect the revenues from those regions and raise a large fund. So he was going to go loot other countries.
You're right.
Maybe, you know, oh well. Verse 32. He left Lysias, a distinguished man of royal lineage, in charge of the king's affairs from the river Euphrates to the borders of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. I got something in my left eye. Oh, oh boy. Here we go. Verse 33. Lysias was also to take care of his son, Antiochus. Named his son after himself until he returned. Verse 34, and he turned over Lysias, or to him, half of his forces and the elephants, and gave him orders about all that he wanted done. As for the residents of Judea and Jerusalem, now they have it right in here, the land of Yehuda, okay, verse 35, Lysias was to send a force against them to wipe out and destroy the strength of Israel and the remnant of Jerusalem. He was to banish the memory of them from the place. Verse 36, settle aliens in all their territory and distribute their land by lot.
What's happening?
What's going on in our territory today? They're bringing in all these aliens.
Amen.
Notice that the analogy between then and now, same modus operandi. They're bringing in the aliens. Look at poor Britain, what they've done over there. Look at some of the European countries, and look at the United States. We are fortunate to have a bigger land mass than the individual countries of Europe do. And there's a whole bunch of people over here like the ones in Olympia, Washington. When the time comes, and it's an old term, those that have that are familiar with it will know what I'm talking about. It will be a target-rich environment.
Right.
Okay. Verse 37. Then the king took the remaining half of his forces and left Antioch, his capital, in the 147th year. Okay, that's 165 B.C. He crossed the Euphrates River and went through the upper provinces. I don't know what I've got in this left eye, but it's been driving me crazy.
Okay.
Don't know whether I got a gnat or something. gnat's not nice.
That's right.
Here's preparations for battle.
Yeah.
This is, verse 38 of chapter 3, Lysias chose Ptolemy, that's Ptolemy, the P is silent, son of Dorymenes, and Nicanor and Gorgias, G-O-R-G-I-A-S, or Gorgias, able men among the friends of the king. Like friends of Hillary.
Right.
Oi. verse 39, and sent them with 40,000 infantry and 7,000 cavalry to go into the land of Yehuda and destroy it, as the king had commanded. Verse 40. So they set out with their entire force, and when they arrived, they encamped near Emmaus in the plain. Verse 41. When the traders of, traitors, people that do business, T-R-A-D-E-R-S, when the traders of the region heard what was said to them, they took silver and gold in immense amounts and fetters. That's Syrian, or the Vulgate has slaves, took fetters, and went to the camp to get the Israelites for slaves. They were going to enslave the Israelites.
Right, yes.
And forces from Syria and the land of the Philistine, that's the Philistines, joined right. with them. Verse 42. Now, Yehuda and his brothers saw that misfortunes had increased and that the forces were encamped in their territory. They also learned what the king had commanded to do to the people to cause their final destruction. Verse 43. But they said to one another, "Let us restore the ruins of our people and fight for our people and the sanctuary." Verse 44. So the congregation assembled to be ready for battle and to pray and ask for mercy and compassion. And now there's another little poem-like thing. Verse 45. Jerusalem was uninhabited like a wilderness. Not one of her children went in or out. The sanctuary was trampled down, and the aliens held the citadel. It was a lodging place for the nations. Joy was taken from Jacob. The flute and the harp ceased to play. Verse 46. Then they gathered together and went to Mizpah, opposite Jerusalem, because Israel formerly had a place of prayer in Mizpah. They went to Yahweh. Okay. Uh-huh. Verse 47. They fasted that day and put on sackcloth and sprinkled ashes on their heads and tore their clothes. That was a sign of mourning and contrition and humbleness before Yahweh. That's what that was about. That's how they did that then. Verse 48. And they opened the book of the law to inquire into those matters about which the nations consulted the likenesses of their Elohim, their gods. Well, the pagans went to their little statues, and Israel went to the book of the law. Mm-hmm. Verse 49. They also brought the vestments of the priesthood and the first fruits and the tithes, and they stirred up the Nazirim. That's the Nazirites, okay? Those who are separated or consecrated, those by a vow, okay? Who had completed their days. Because when you were a Nazir, you didn't cut your hair, or shave your beard, didn't do any of that. That's what Samson was.
Right. So those who had completed their vow were able to fight.
They were done with that, and they were allowed to fight.
Yeah.
Verse 50, and they cried aloud to heaven, saying, and here's another little poem, "What shall we do with these? Where shall we take them?" Verse 51. "Your sanctuary is trampled down and profaned, and your priests mourn in humiliation." Verse 52. "Here the nations are assembled against us to destroy us. You know what they plot against us." They're calling out to Yahweh.
Yeah.
Verse 53. "How will we be able to withstand them if you do not help us?" Verse 54. That ended the little poem on prayer. "Then they sounded the trumpets and gave a loud shout. After this, Yehuda appointed leaders of the people in charge of thousands and hundreds and fifties," broken down into the ranks of the army.
Yes.
"And tens," little squads.
Right.
Verse 56, "Those who were building houses or about to be married or were planting a vineyard or were faint-hearted, he told to go home again according to the law." Okay, that's in the law.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 57, "Then the army marched out and encamped to the south of Emmaus." Verse 58, "And Yehuda said, arm yourselves and be courageous. Be ready early in the morning to fight with these nations who have assembled against us to destroy us and our sanctuary." Verse 59, "It is better for us to die in battle than to see the misfortunes of our nation and of the sanctuary." Verse 60, "But as his will in heaven may be, so shall he do." Speaking of Yahweh. And that ends chapter 3.
Well, the incredible devotion to the law by these Israelites is just...
That's the only thing that's going to make them prevail, and that's the only thing that will make us prevail.
That's right. It's inspiring. This is an inspiring
thing. It's not going to be just us. It's going to be Yahweh.
Yeah, bless us.
And Brother Heber Antiochus is not really described, but he was a pagan king, Brother Heber.
Yeah, he was a Greek, so he was an Adamite. No doubt.
Well, he was an Adamite, but he was Hellenized.
Yeah, he was a pagan.
Yawan, one of the sons back in the day, is what they called Greece. They were Israelites that moved. The original Greeks were Adamites. They were Israel. But pre-Israel, they were of the bloodline, okay? That's Yawan.
Yeah, Javan.
That's the Hebrew name for Greek, okay, for Greece. And let's see, we have 42. Let me look and see how long chapter 4 is. It will be a stretch to get chapter 4 in, and I think we should just stop at the end of chapter 3 and discuss what we've read today, rather than do a half a chapter.
Okay.
Let's do this, you know, chapter by chapter.
Well, let me just say, Javan was not of Shem. Javan was from Japheth.
So the
original Greeks were, in fact, Japheth. They're still Adamites, but they're not Shemites. And then our people, the Israelites, eventually took over the territory, and that's when they began to be called Greeks, okay? So it's by that time it was a mixture of Javan and Shem.
Well, they were called Hellenes.
Yes.
They had been Hellenized. They worshipped the body. They did all the exercises and the Olympic games and all that stuff, which we still do today, they worship the pagan gods. The Jawanites were overwhelmed by apostate Israelites that had become Hellenized. They liked the great civilization and all the architecture and all that stuff, and they imitated them. Well, you couldn't tell an original Greek from a right. new Greek. Like that today. I mean, that's how the Jews hide. They breed with the Adamic seed line, and they take on a false appearance. But they have some of that satanic seed line in them. And their nature is of that satanic seed line. Brother Hebert, comments, no wonder these books were taken out. These books would awaken the righteous hate of the Saxon.
Amen.
Isaac's sons.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it would destroy the myth of the, the idea that Jesus was a pacifist. There's no way.
Oh, well, they've lied about that.
Yeah.
Oh, God is love. Love, 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 love. I did that in one of my sermons and just mocked them.
Yeah.
And, oh, they hate that. Boy, I got some blistering comments from the Judeos on that in my email. Boy, they really hammered. I love it. Oh, boy. But this is a how-to book for what we need to do today.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. And we need some
inspiration. Now, these books are available, but the Judeo-Christian churches don't teach out of these books, and their KJV versions don't have these books in them. The original KJV did.
Yes.
They had all of this, but they removed a whole bunch of books. They removed Jasher, which I've done the whole series. I'm in the midst of putting all of that on EFR's archives right now. I'm doing Jasher. And as I listen to the other shows on one computer today on this wonderful Sunday lineup, I'm going to be typing on the other because it's just a little process where you transfer files, and then everything will be over. Everything is on my website, which is www.pastor-steve.com, and you've got www.thinkoutsidethebeast, one word. .com. That's Brother Hebert's site with all kinds of stuff. Why am I thus puts disappointed we'll have to miss most of our shows today? Can they be archived as soon as Israelitely possible? Been catching up in the wee hours. Thanks, Father. Father's blessings. When Eli is done today, he'll send me Restoration Hour. He'll send me this one, and he'll send me Vosi.
Right.
And then I'll put them up. I'll get that done. But we'll get her in there, dear. No problem. I have been playing catch up. You have to remember, I have not been in the best of health myself, so I'm playing the recuperating game here. Dan says mine will be up shortly after the show ends. Of course, he's very prompt. So. I'll tell you, Eli, this is an exciting read. We've got we've got First Maccabees, we've got Second Maccabees, we've got Third Maccabees, and Fourth Maccabees. It's gonna occupy bloodlines for a while.
Right.
And as I've told people, I'm not gonna do Second Esdras, because you and I and Greg Howard have seriously put a dent in Second Esdras. We're really hammering on that. So if they want to hear Second Esdras, we dissect that very well. I'm very heartened by what went on up in Washington. It is another sign to us. Okay, everybody wants to, show me a sign. Okay, well, even if the politicos aren't showing us anything, the people themselves have added up to their eyeballs and they're showing. I hate to think what would have happened if the thugs had tried to move in on those boys. But the thugs probably looked on and said, not only no, but hell no.
Right.
No, I'm not going to go get myself ventilated.
Right. Well, it's just like what happened with the Bundys. You know, the Bureau of Land Management sent in a team of thugs. And then all of a sudden they realized there were armed men on the bridge ready to do battle. Thanks, but no thanks. Right? So,
well, it didn't help Leroy Finicum. They murdered him. They murdered Gordon Call.
Yeah, unarmed. Yeah.
Yeah. They like to shoot unarmed people.
Right.
Like that cop out there in Nevada shot that guy laying on the floor with his hands on the back of his head. Just shot him right in the top of the head.
Uh-huh.
Boom, boom, boom. And he got away with it.
Yeah.
So you think they won't kill innocent people, unarmed people? Come on, people.
Resisting arrest.
You're talking about servants of the devil. You don't think they're going to have anything like mercy or a concept of righteousness or honor? They hire people with that mindset now. They don't have the cops like we used to have.
Yeah.
Where you see a cop car in your mirror and you feel secure because you know he's looking for the criminal. He's not looking for you. Now you're afraid when you see a cop car in the mirror because they're collectors of the revenue and they might do something to you just because they think you have money.
Yeah.
They prey on the innocent instead of the criminals. A lot of them do. Not all. Not all. I can't tar and feather all the police. There are some good police out there. But I've run across some real bad ones. It cost me 13 years plus of my life. You know? And, if that's what it takes, hey, I was telling the truth. I went to jail for telling the truth, and I went to jail for self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I went to jail. Are you a convict? Yep. Sure am. Now you're an ex-con. You're scum. Okay, well, whatever. Call me names. I don't care. Every one of the disciples of Christ, except for Yehuda Iscariot, went to prison, and all of them were beheaded. All of them. So I guess they were cons. So they were scum too, huh? They went to prison. Oh, my. Yeah. See, they have double standards.
Eli. Right.
Double standards. What happens if they accidentally get crosswise with the law? Because it's so easy to do. They keep passing stuff and don't tell you about it. And they got so many laws out there. Just everything is illegal. What happens when it happens to them? Oh, but I'm an innocent man. Well, It doesn't matter. You're criminal scum now. Remember? Remember the names you were throwing out? You like to throw those names about. You bandy those names about. Yeah. Oh, my. Criminal scum. Yeah, the shoe's on the other foot, but you're different, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did the Maccabees do to people like that? What does it say they did to them? All the ones that were victimizing the people. What did the Maccabees do to those? They went out and collected them and they executed them. And what is it going to take to get this country back? We're going to go out and hand everybody a lollipop, are we? Warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely? Yeah. Oh, God is love. Love, love, love. Well, is that going to get things straight? Somehow I don't think so, Eli.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be solved like that.
Yeah, slavery is the only alternative to freedom.
Well, we are virtual slaves right now. We have to break these chains.
Yes, right.
Slave to the usurers, those who wish to dominate the world. They want to eliminate the strong of the Adamic race and have only the mixed weak ones as slaves.
Yeah, as worker drones.
If they're not of the Edomite tribe, they're going to be slaves. That's their goal, to rule the planet and dominate everybody, and they are cruel taskmasters.
Uh-huh. Worse than the Egyptians.
If you get crosswise with them, they'll kill you. Mm-hmm. They do it today. They don't do it directly, but they do it by proxy with their thugs.
That's right.
I remember all the stuff about the jackbooted thugs. And that's back when I had my radio station was broadcasting, which is what got them down on me, and they singled me out, and they got me alone on an empty highway. And they tried their little thing, except they picked on the wrong guy. And I fought them off. And boy, did that get them on my case. They had a nationwide manhunt for me back in the day. I was on America's Most Wanted 6 times. He's the most dangerous man in America, according to the ADL. Boy, that was a badge of honor.
Yeah. we're proud to have you, Steve.
Yeah, well. And all my so-called friends abandoned me. And who helped me out in prison over and over and over all those years but Eli James? And he says, Steve, I got a place for you when you get out. We got a little thing called EFR. and here I be, brother. Here I be, and it's a pleasure and honor.
Likewise.
And we are one of the main weapons against the enemy today, and I'm proud to be part of it.
Yeah, we are the Maccabees of today.
Well, that's it. Thank you, Harry. I have been working real hard on the second volume called The Prophets. I have the Torah. That's done. I'm trying to get The Prophets done. I'm in the middle of Jeremiah, which is a huge book. Then I'll have Ezekiel, which is another big one. And then I'll do all the minor prophets, and then I'll have that out. I will probably have that done by the Feast of Tabernacles. In the fall. So we had the very cold, snowy Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yeah, it was cold.
And very cold. But I slept in a tent with my little electric heater and had a nice sleeping bag. And I had a blanket, and I had a military sleeping bag, which is a mummy bag, which I used as a mattress on the cot. You can't get in the doggone thing. It's very warm if you're sleeping up in the Arctic, but you can't move. You feel like you're in a coffin, like you're mummified. You're bound up.
Yeah.
I can't sleep like that. So I bought a nice big Coleman sleeping bag, and now I can sleep in comfort.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're ready for the days of tabernacles when the society collapses, and we're all going to have to go to the wilderness and survive there.
Uh-oh. We got 10 seconds, brother.
All right.
Time
okay.
To go. May Yahweh bless and keep all of you, and pray for Yahweh's help, brother and sister.
Amen. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a great day. Yahweh bless.